like pack searching through a 7-Eleven. So are the days of our cards.
G'day everyone, it's Days of Our Cards with the Mojo King. I'm here with, I'll call him Mr. NBA, Dale Edmonds. How are you going, Dale?
Not too bad.
He's here under a little bit of duress. He's nearly cut his finger off at work, doing what he loves, I suppose. But how many times do you do that cut a day?
At least 100. But this time I was just speaking to someone at the same time, got distracted and, yeah, nearly lost my finger.
What did you actually do? You actually run a...
Yeah, just sort of cutting off some offcuts with my Stanley knife, and it slipped up onto the mat and into my finger. I looked down, the whole blade was in my finger, and then the pain hit. There was blood everywhere.
So you nearly lost the top of your finger, didn't you?
Yeah.
How close was it?
I was hanging on by 4 millimetres. So I had a customer there at the time who wrapped it up, and they said if they didn't do that, I would have lost it. So I was very lucky.
Straight to the children's hospital?
Yes.
And they sent you away?
Yes, they said you're not allowed within 50 metres of this building. Yeah. Yeah, then I had surgery at Dandenong Hospital.
Tell the story of the Dandenong Hospital. You've told me before you got sent to Dandenong, half your finger's gone, so you'd think you'd get straight through.
You'd think so, but no, they said I had to stay the night because I had surgery at 6 a.m. and I was up at 5 o'clock and ready to show up for my surgery, and they said just wait here, and 2:30 is when I went in. So
that's a disgrace.
Yeah, not ideal.
Now, the bloke that had the blood nose, how long did he get?
Oh.
He only had to wait half an hour.
Yes.
Oh, well. Now, when it comes to NBA trading cards and everything that goes with NBA, you are the mover and shaker. You're the puppet master kind of thing, in my eyes. Am I wrong?
Well, not really.
Mr. Big, was there?
All right, we'll go with that.
We'll go with that. Mr. Big. Framing, cards. What else do you do?
Grading, yep.
Play.
Just probably 10 messages a day of people just asking for prices of cards that want to sell them or whatever. Just
your card grading stuff you do, you send on average, what, 400 or 500 cards?
Yeah, between 300 and 400 every 6 or 7 weeks or so.
Which is massive. That's a massive effort.
Yeah, it is. A lot of work.
For you, that's a stack of work. You've got parcels coming in from all over Australia.
Yeah, yep. And New Zealand.
Okay, and New Zealand as well.
So, yeah, have to sort them out and put them into their categories and bag them up and send them off.
And then the process, when they come back, you then have to unpack and send them all back to people.
Yep, get the messages every day while they're away. Are they done yet? Did they make it?
Yeah. A lot of effort.
Yep.
And I think people should be thankful of the efforts you've done. Actually, I've been to your factory and seen when you're about to send one off, and the amount of cards was, it was an eye-opener. I couldn't believe how many you were sending in one go. Is that taken off from where? Where did it start?
I needed a few cards. Well, I wanted a few cards graded, and I think I had about 10 or 20. And, yeah, I spoke to Luke Young, who most people would know, and he had another 5 or 10, and just he knew someone who had a few, and we had 100 cards or so for the first submission. I thought, this is way too much work. Just the stress of sending stuff over there, everyone else's cards, it's all insured, but doesn't make you feel any better.
No, it doesn't, correct.
And yeah, then you post the cards on the pages when you get back, and people say, where do you get that done? And then it just builds from there.
So that's huge now, isn't it? It's become,
yeah,
every quarter you're sending that many cards.
Yeah,
and it's gaining and gaining and gaining.
Yeah.
In the sending process of it, do you send them all in one hit?
Yep.
So that'd be like a monster size.
Yeah, it's about $180 the cost over there to send it. So,
and card grading in general in Australia, it's with Australian sports, it's not a massive thing yet.
Yep.
But we were talking before, and you said that it's starting to pick up. People are sending footy cards, and
last submission we had was 400 cards, and there was about 10 or 12 AFL cards just for a guy's collection, so...
Which is a good way of that, because the bottom line is they're protected.
Yeah, nice and safe and...
And they're forever graded, so yeah. You know the standard, I guess.
A lot of people don't like the... I think it's CGA, is it? The Card Grading Australia one?
Yeah, I don't think they're too harsh on the grades.
No.
I've seen more 10s and 100s come out of that. They can't all be 100s, surely.
No, I wouldn't think so.
So the process of grading, it goes through a strenuous... you're very good at, I know, because I've asked you before, you've got a torch and whatever you've got.
Yeah, all sorts of tools, yep.
They use that, and it's very harshly judged.
Yep.
To get a 10 is what? Near impossible?
Yeah, and then above that's a black label, but people see, like even a 9.5 is really good, but people see 10s and 9.5s and they get their card come back as a 9 and they're disappointed. It's still a really good grade, but...
So in the grading systems, 9 is a good grade?
Depends on the card, but a lot of the time you haven't lost money.
Okay, because a lot of the products for me that I busted this year, especially the thicker cards, they seem to come with... not the best corners and
lots of chipping and stuff on the back.
That gets graded as well.
The back of the card does. A lot of people don't realize that. They look at the front and see it's perfect and then wonder why their card didn't come back nicely, but the back definitely counts as well. That's why the thin cards grade really well. You see good grades on Select and Prism and products like that.
So stuff like Noir and Immaculate and NT.
That's why you see like an NT RPA graded 9.5s just sells for double. It's really a really big difference.
And with the grading you do and the more people are jumping in every, you know, so often.
Yeah.
New faces.
Yeah, all the time.
So that's not just the same people. It's always new.
Yeah, it's always mates of mates and. Yeah, just from same thing, people posting their cards on pages and someone asked where to get that done.
Give it a little plug. What's the page? And
It's just BGS, that's all it's called, and then I just label it by the month. But yeah, if you want to get in, just let me know and I'll add you into the group or ask a friend that's already in and they can add you in.
Do you reckon that it'll pick up in Australia with Australian cards? Do you think in the end it'll get... more and more? You got 12 or 14?
Well, we had 12 last time, but then I sent a lot off last week, and there's probably only 5 non, like US sports card sort of thing, and they're Pokemon and stuff like that, so, I don't know.
Everyone's caught that Pokemon grading bug?
Yes.
They saw it on, what was it, Pawn Stars?
Yeah, all the Charizards.
Any Charizards in your lot?
No, I've got 2 of them at home though, just raw, so I'm pretty sure they're not in great condition, but I still want to send them off and find out one day, but...
So you're a Pokemon collector as a kid?
No.
What are you doing with the Charizards?
I don't know, just ended up with them in someone's lot of cards, but...
Now, your sporting background, what were you playing as a kid?
Basketball, that was it.
Just basketball?
Yeah, I've never played footy or anything like that.
No cricket?
No. Oh, I've had one season of cricket. We won the grand final, so I retired. That was under 14s.
So a nice way to go out.
Yes.
Basketball, you reach any...
Yeah, basketball from under 8s, sort of, up to a few years ago. I was playing 4 nights a week. But
okay.
Played for Victoria in the under 14s, but that was as high as I got.
Jeez, not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
What were you on the court? Point guard, were you?
No, more like a small centre sort of thing. It was just...
Okay.
Because there's always... Well, down in the country, there's not a lot of big kids, but then you come to these tournaments up in the city and there's... The smallest guy's bigger than your tallest guy and it's a bit scary, but...
I played footy. I played under 15s was my last season. And I was put in the ruck. And at Lindale, I was tallish. But then you're playing against guys that went to AFL and they're all 7 foot tall. You look stupid going in the ruck. I know what you're talking about with that. Now, the other side of your stuff you do is framing, obviously.
Yep.
And you are fantastic at it.
That's true.
We know, yeah. I've got 6 items in my house on my walls. It's the wall that Dale built. That's your passion now?
Yeah. yeah, there's always something.
So you're different. Creative.
Not necessarily. I don't know. If someone says I'd like it to look like this, I can do that. But yeah, I'm not the best if someone says turn this into something. But,
okay. But, and your background, you actually have a degree?
Yeah, computer science, majoring in business. So not really using that at the moment, but I don't know if I ever will, but it's handy to have there.
It's very handy. Does that actually coincide with anything you do with the framing?
Not really. Oh, a bit of the website stuff, but...
No? So you'll never take up anything with that? Or?
No, I don't really. Just don't want to sit behind a desk 9 to 5 every day with a suit on sort of thing. So I don't know. I can't see myself using it anytime soon.
So this is your love?
At the moment, yeah.
Well...
I can't see it changing, but yeah.
You can see it in your work anyway. You can tell when people do something and they don't give it a rat's ass, or they care about what they do. You're quick to put, do you like it here? What about this one? Yep. What about that one? It's not like, yeah, here it is.
Yeah.
Give us a minute, see you later. You can see you have pride in what you do. How did it begin with the framing?
I needed something framed myself. So I found a guy on Facebook, went to his house and we got talking and I said, I do cards and I was buying signed jerseys and stuff at the time. He said, oh, maybe you can supply me. So he ended up getting bigger and bigger and we moved into a factory. And then I got rid of him and I've been running it ever since.
So you're the big kahuna there?
Yep, I'm the only kahuna.
And it takes hours of your... How many days a week you work?
At least 6, but usually 7.
And long hours?
Yeah, minimum sort of 12, 13 hours a day.
Which is crazy on top of
it. Oh, it's stupid, but
the stuff you do.
I'd rather do that than sit at home and do nothing.
Well, and that's, it's your love. You love doing it. So with the NBA card collecting side of thing, when did you actually get into that?
I remember grade 4 or 5 back at school. Used to buy cards from the newsagents, my mate and I.
And where did you grow up actually first?
I went to school in Lock, which is down near Currumburra, Leongatha.
Okay, yeah.
Down that way. So I think in grade 6, when I was in grade 6, the whole school, there was 52 people.
Jeez.
It was really small. And I went from that to year 7 at Currumburra Secondary College, and there was 150 year 7 sort of thing. So,
wow, so yeah.
Yeah, it was a big difference for me.
So news agencies where you... got your first feel for it?
Yep. And
what was your first product?
I can't remember, but I just remember I used to collect Tarzos a lot. And
how good were they?
Yeah, they were good.
And Space Jams, you got the Space Jams?
Yeah, the little Jordan head thing. Yeah, you could never get it off the container. No, but it didn't matter. But yeah, my mate had a massive folder full of Shaq rookie cards and everything. And he asked me one day, did I want to trade a few slammers for it, for his whole folder? And I said no. I had no idea at the time, but would have been a good trade now, but you never
know. Hindsight's always 20/20.
That's it.
So from those packs, did it go straight on to then you went hardcore, or you were just...
No, I bought a lot of singles on eBay at the time because I thought they were cheap. It was $2 or $3 for an auto from a product that looked nice. I didn't really know what I was buying, but I just bought them anyway. And then, I sort of got out of the hobby for a bit while I was at uni and my later school years. But, then I got back in a couple of years ago.
And taken off from there? Singles became what? Boxes?
And cases and breaks and whatever else. Everything. I didn't know about Razzes or any of those sort of things, but, yeah.
Crazy. Now, product-wise, Panini... What do you give them out of 10?
The quality, maybe 6 or 7. The cards are nice, there's just too many of them.
Yeah.
Even the low end, a lot of those cards look really nice, but yeah.
Where can they go though with it? Because if they have to make X amount of products, well, do they have to make X amount of products?
Yeah, I'm not sure. No, I don't know, but it seems like they do.
Because every
they might tell week, everybody they have to. But.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Every second week there seems to be a new product. Yeah, there was a period, I think when, geez, what was it? There was a period when three or four products came out in the space of 3 weeks. It was like you got into, I can't even remember the name of the product, and then it was straight into that one, and then you're starting to get into that one, and then it was...
Yeah, a new one on the door, yeah. Another
one there. It was crazy. Nothing, has anything stood out for you this year?
Just Noir, which is out today. Everything I've seen of that's been really nice. And
do you like the changes with the white and black instead of just
plain? Yeah, definitely.
Big improvement.
Yeah, and I don't like the Spotlight signatures, how they've made them to 125 instead of 25, but... So even then, they've taken a really nice product and they've made more of it in the same thing, yeah.
That's the hard thing. A lot of the Australian market that are collect... Well, personally, I have a lot of guys that started in NRL or AFL and they come and jump into an NBA break and they don't understand why a bloke's in footy who's played two games and retires, or not retires, gets the ass, kicked off a list, his auto could be $30, but you get, as I saw on the NBA page the other day, a Magic Johnson Innovation auto for $30 of a absolute legend of the game. Where if that was Gary Ablett, that's a $1,000 card. Yeah. Is it just because it's mass produced?
Yeah, I think so. Players like him and Larry Bird.
Bird's another one, yeah.
Mutombo. Yeah, they just sign their life away.
But even Kobe's to a degree, though. Once upon a time, a number to 10 Kobe would be, close to $1,000 card. Now you're $250 and people are not buying it. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah, as I said, I collect Dirk Nowitzki, and it used to be if you had an auto of his, it was the best. It was nobody had him sort of thing. But now, saw one the other day for sale for $40. They've just flooded the market. So,
and now with guys like Lillard and Reggie Miller, you said you saw the same with Sean Kemp.
Yeah, Sean Kemp. Just like it makes my collection feel not as good now for the Nowitzkis, but
yep.
Someone can say, I've got 20 autos as well, but they've paid the same price as I paid for two of my autos sort of things.
Yeah, correct. That's another thing that it's hard to explain to people who aren't NBA, that I've had a few that jumped in and hit a number to 10 gold prism, and they thought, wow, I've hit a gold prism, and they get excited and they think it's a $1,000 card. There's only 10 in the world.
Yep.
And then they go, what's it worth? And you say, go and check eBay side listings, and they see it, $8, yeah. $10. And it freaks them out that something numbered so low can be worth that much. But when there's 30 products a year and that player's got 30 cards numbered to 10, it's not so...
And Panini don't, although in their defense, they don't know how the player's going to turn out.
Yeah.
Like Giannis at the start, he was worth nothing, and now you can't even buy his stuff sort of thing.
Correct. What's your thoughts on the rookie class this year?
No good yet, but I think give it time and someone will pop up for sure. I don't mind Thon and Brognett and those guys, but yeah, I think it will just take a few years.
So with the product, you can see them bouncing. A lot of the products have gone down this year, apart from Prism.
Yeah.
NT, but that'll always go up. But a lot of the products have just really died in the ass after release, which is, I hate when that happens. It's like, but it's a rookie class that pretty much decides that, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you release a product today, and if you don't like it straight away, you know that there's only 2 weeks until the next one, so you just hold out for a bit.
You move on, I suppose. But going back to your framing, you frame NBA, you frame a bit of everything?
Yeah, a bit of everything. I was framing some Lego last week, so...
Lego?
Yeah, literally everything.
What was the Lego?
It was a Star Wars Luke and... What's her name?
Leia.
Yeah, it was just like a thing that said, I love you, I know. Two Legos facing each other, yeah.
Different. What's the oddest thing you've had to frame?
Maybe that. It was weird. Lego...
No celebrity undies or
no framed a shirt that Elvis wore, apparently.
Okay.
You never know, but... Yeah, probably,
nothing real odd.
No, probably just a Lego.
Chris Rimpus hasn't brought in anything strange?
No, Rimpus isn't allowed in the factory anymore.
Banned?
No, he just gets his jerseys done and that's it.
Oh, fair enough. Is that growing, the framing side of things? Is that...
Yeah, so our memorabilia side's sort of dying. That's sort of the same with the cards. It just gets flooded.
Yeah.
Like after the grand final last year, the next day there were 62 products released. Bulldog stuff. And you got people that want to have all of it. They just can't afford to. And then yeah, so every 300 gamer gets a print and everything as well. So Hodges got one from a couple of weeks ago. Then he's retiring next week, so he's going to get more stuff for that.
Yep.
So they just flood that as well. But
with the NBA side of things, is it mainly jerseys you frame, or is it signed prints, or what?
Yeah, else? Mostly jerseys. Because they're a lot easier to get now, eBay and stuff, and mailboxes and stuff people can use. Instead of it being $100 to ship one over here, you can send it somewhere and then get it sent. But yeah, so a lot of people are catching on to those now and getting them framed up.
What's your percentage of what you do a week in NBA?
Probably...
What was it? How long you been doing framing as well?
About 4 years now.
Okay, so 4 years ago, what was the percentage of NBA?
It was barely any, maybe one or two a month, and that was it. It was just mostly footy, but now I've been involved in the pages and everything, and then, like, customers don't realise you do other sports sort of thing. Correct. They think you just do AFL or whatever, so, yeah, now it'd be 60-70% NBA.
Really? That much?
Yeah.
So... That was my question before, was the growth of NBA. You're too young to know how it was in the mid-90s when it was boom time. Every person, I can tell you now, every kid at school collected NBA. It was, and you had to have a team or you just weren't in the in crowd. Can you see getting to that levels again? Well, you wouldn't know those levels, but since you've got in, is it growing?
Yeah, I think so. Slowly. Helps when the players come back, like Patty Mills and Ben Simmons is here this week. The kids get to see those, the heroes from the TV sort of thing, and then they're just hooked forever.
Yeah, that's right. We had a little discussion before about the soccer and Tim Cahill. Tim Cahill coming back to the A-League, did that help?
Or yeah, was good for us. We sold a lot of stuff, and even... like Archie Thompson, when he was still at Victory, we sold a lot of Victory stuff. Since he's left, probably haven't sold a single thing sort of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah.
Gee whiz. Okay. With that, with a kid that can have a hero and see them, I suppose, helps. Then you never see them. Yeah. Overseas stars. Unless you go overseas, you're not going to see.
Yeah.
A lot of them, but we've got, you know, how many Aussies in the NBA now?
There's like six or seven or something, eight or whatever it is, yeah. So
some are going number one picks and some are going here. Kids have got someone to look up to, I guess, and follow. And they're from your backyard. Look at Andrew Bogut, for example. He went to Cleveland High School. I went to Dandy Tech. He was
next door, yeah,
which is crazy. I used to play cricket with a bunch of guys that said they were better basketballers than him at that time, which they're all talking lies, but... It's crazy that someone like your next door neighbour could be...
Yeah, you just never know.
No, you don't. Now, your sporting background, did we talk about that?
No, not yet.
What did you do?
I played cricket for 1 year in under-14s and we won the grand final, so I retired. And then, I just played basketball probably from under-8s up till a few years ago when I hurt my back, so... I was playing 4 or 5 nights a week.
Wow.
And then, just got a knee to the back one night and that was it.
Jeez. Where did you actually play? Where were you playing?
Started off down at home, so down near Currumburra, Leongatha. And then in the under-14s, playing for Victoria, so we're all around the state, interstate. And then just messing around with my mates at Pakenham.
Okay.
That was a rough place. A few footy teams had entered as a basketball team, so...
Always happens.
Knees first.
I played indoor soccer, and the same deal. The off season, the footy teams would come down and play. Couldn't play, but they could knee and kick and
scratch. Yeah, they're just there to have a beer afterwards, sort of thing. They don't care.
No. So, in the under-15s or under-14s Victorian side, did you play with anyone that actually went on to do anything?
I don't think so. It was nearly 15 years ago now, so I'm getting old. Thanks for the reminder. No, I don't really remember.
No?
No. I know we used to play rep sides just locally. Jared Ruffhead used to play in one of those teams. So
jeez, okay.
He's got rid of the basketball, but yeah, he's gone on to do something. But I don't really remember anybody else.
Well, the basketball skills that relate to football, Pendlebury used to be a basketballer, yeah, and you can see that his hand eye is a lot better than others.
He's one of the slowest guys on the field, but he's never touched.
And it looks like the Bont as well. I don't know if Bont had a basketball background, but he's got that time as well with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, what would say with the A-League, like the NBA, how can that improve? Can they bring in stars just like the NBL? NBL's kind of...
Yeah, it's kind of dead at the moment, isn't it?
It is. And what can spark it? Or can anything spark it?
Just need some big names and make it more exciting to be at. I've been to a few games and it's just... I went to the NBA last year and you don't want it to end. And the NBL, you can't wait for it to end.
I think I've only ever been to one NBL game, which was a South Dragons Melbourne Tigers final. I think it was the South Dragons last game, and yeah, I think, like we said, the entertainment was better than the game.
Yeah.
I think the highlight was, to be honest, was Zac Efron was in the crowd. He had his hoodie on and everyone was screaming out for Zac, but I think that might have been the highlight of the whole thing.
You're spoiled though. You're always going to compare it to the NBA, or
that's the problem.
It's just not realistic.
It's like
if you could compare it, they'd all be in the NBA.
It's like the soccer. When you can sit on a Saturday night and watch the EPL, and then you watch the Australian A League on the Sunday, it's a letdown. And look, one or two stars may help it. You said it helped with Cahill.
Yeah,
I think the interest would have burned a little bit.
Yep.
They need a bit more than that. I don't think it'll ever get to the heights of the NBA somehow, in the NBL. But it was big back in the 90s. NBL was huge.
Yeah.
Everyone had an NBL team as well as an NBA team, which was...
It's like the cricket, the Big Bash. They've made that work because they run it when nothing else is on and they get all the stars here. I don't know if something like that could work, but there's always some sort of season on.
Yeah, there is. That's the problem.
Different cups and everything. There's so many things now.
Now, your collections. You collect Dirk?
Dirk, yep.
And you collect Raul?
Yes.
Are there any others?
No, nothing else.
So you just got your eyes on two dudes?
Yeah, two white guys in the NBA, so that's not a good investment. But
now, what started your love with Dirk?
I saw him at, I don't know what year it was, but it was one of the Olympics. I was just watching the German team play somebody, and yeah, I just saw him, and then I ended up with a card of his. I can't remember what it was, and then just went from there. Just started picking him up.
And Raul.
Raul, nobody really understands why I collect him, and neither do I. It's it sort of started when this was before, because Dirk's only signed for Panini in the last year or so, but before that, it was just getting too expensive to collect him, or big European guys, so just wanted something cheap. And I wanted to do a rainbow, so Totally Certified was the product out at the time. I said I'm going to buy the next 101 that pops up on eBay and then build the rest, and it was Raul. So I got it, and then...
So that's fate. If the stars aligned...
Yeah, pretty much.
The stars all came together, and Raul...
Raul's it was face. A bit foggy, but...
Romantic.
Oh, well. I'm probably the only guy in the world who knows his name, but anyway.
And you've got how much of his cards?
About 92% or so of his rookie cards.
What are you missing?
About 8 cards. It's...
And you've got everything?
Yep.
That's insane. So you
there's a few one-on-ones I don't have, of course, but yeah, I'm a...
You'd be the biggest Raoul collector worldwide.
I'd hope so.
Unless it's his mum collects or something.
Well, I don't think she loves him as much as I do.
So you, who do you follow in the NBA as well?
Well, I follow Dirk. I don't really care about the Mavs, but if he retires at the end of next season, I don't know what I'll do, but...
Have you got your eyes on any other white European men?
Not in the NBA.
Fair enough. So you haven't eyed off someone else for when Dirk retires?
No, not yet.
No.
No, I was going to pick a new rookie from this recent draft, but I wouldn't want to start something and not be able to get a lot of cards like I have with Raul. Now, it's good that there's lots of competition now, but I wouldn't want to get 5 or 10 cards or someone. I want to go at it.
Yeah. So you're a collector. You're the hardcore collector that chases
everything. Everything, yeah.
Which is good. We'll talk about that. Is that a dying breed?
Yeah, I think so. Look, it's just harder now. There's so many products for starters, and then there's so many more people jumping on all the new guys anyway. They might not last, but it's too hard at the start. Like all the Ben Simmons stuff at the moment. Just ridiculous prices for nothing cards, really. Just insert.
I saw the Grand Reserve, just the old base cards, people selling for $30. It's $3 in a case. It's like, yeah, not rare.
No.
At all. The hype on Ben Simmons, you hope he has a good year this year.
Yeah, me too. I've got some of his jerseys coming next week, so I hope so.
Oh, nice. For yourself, or you?
No, just to sell. Oh. A couple of for orders, but yeah, just to sell. Because I haven't seen any for sale anywhere in Australia.
How,
or anything.
How do you go about that? Is it hard to accumulate or get into the country stuff like that?
With Upper Deck, it is, because we've got a lot of contracts we have to sign to make sure we're going to sell at the recommended retail price and all those sort of things. Yep. If they believe that we won't, then they just won't supply us.
So you have to jump through a few hoops?
Yeah, just a few. Just frustrating, but yeah, I'd rather that than just everybody on the street having the same access sort of thing.
I agree with that. And that's a problem I find with cards in general, especially NRL. I've gone out of NRL altogether because if someone was the sole distributor and they gave everyone the same, even keel, you almost sell it for that.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. I think it would be better than here's one to you for $1,600 a case. This bloke I'll do $1,550.
Yeah.
This guy go direct, I'll give you $1,300.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. It's a shame. And I think the only way to fix it is probably what Upper Deck are doing with what they're doing with the jerseys. If you don't sell it for this, well,
yeah,
you don't get it.
Yep.
It makes it fair for everyone. Then put your mark up how you want to put the mark up, but you have to sell it for that price. I suppose that's the rule with anything, I guess. With the NBA scene, though, the card scene, where do you see it going? Do you see it thriving? Do you see new people coming in?
Yeah, I think there'll always be new guys coming in. But yeah, I think the older guys, for every new guy that comes in, there's an old guy that leaves the hobby or whatever, just can't keep up family or work or just not interested anymore.
That's something you do, actually, now that I think of it, you see that more often. See you later, I'm out of the hobby.
Yeah.
They always come back, though, I reckon.
Yeah, eventually.
It's in your blood, I think. Collecting's in your blood. I stopped collecting in probably 96, 97, and got back into it in 2006, 2007, 10 years. I suppose when guys have families and other things become important. Yeah.
I might be the same. If someone ever decides they like me and we have kids or whatever, I'd probably be gone too. Like
you get other priorities, I guess.
Yeah, at the moment I have no other priority, so I've got a lot of time for it.
Well, if you get a wife, very shortly, she's not going to let you do 70 hours in the factory.
No. I'll have to get a new job as well.
And then a kid comes along, you got no chance. You're gone. The framing empire is finished.
The whole country stuffed if I have a kid.
The NBA scene's dead, I'm telling you. The whole page will be, see you later, we're all gone.
Tumbleweed on there or something.
Now, your sale, the famous Dale sale.
Yes.
How many hits? Come on.
It was about 4,000 comments and was 1,100 different sales.
Which, that's insane. That is insane. That beats the My Stock Take sale.
Yeah, it was about 15 grand worth all up. It was very big. But it was a lot of cards. And they're all cheap too, so...
Yeah, they were good value.
Yeah.
But it did stop the internet. Apart from Kim Kardashian's ass shot, that was...
Yes, it's just a close second.
It was just second. Not by much, but just the... It was the sale that stopped the nation. Doing another one soon?
Well, that took maybe 3 or 4 weeks to get ready, just pricing cards and photos and everything. It's a massive job. But yeah, I've probably got enough cards to do one the same size again. It's just out of control.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, the behind-the-scenes stuff, I guess, people appreciate your sale.
Yeah.
But they don't see the time and effort behind the scenes. Yeah, because
you've got to do it after work, for starters. I'm already working long enough, so you're packing cards at 10, 11 o'clock like you would. Yeah, it's a lot of hours, but it's good fun at least.
Well...
You see stuff selling, you're excited to keep going, you do more.
Correct.
You see some guys, they don't sell in their first few cards and they just pull the pin, give up on it, but yeah.
With the guys leaving, do you reckon they leave for any other reason?
Yeah.
Other than commitments?
Maybe just the whole scene now, like you see guys arguing every day over a $5 card, or if someone says they posted a card and they haven't.
That's becoming a problem.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think if everyone was just a bit more honest about it. I mean,
if you told me you couldn't send me a card because you forgot or you left it in the car, whatever, most people are fine with that. Just don't say, I posted it Tuesday. And you don't post it till next Friday. Just you can check the tracking and see exactly when it was posted.
And I mean, if you take it to the poster, they stamp it, so you can see the date. I think you're right. I've had it in the last few days, probably 5 people come to me and say they've been waiting at their mailbox every day for a letter that has never showed. And they're messaging and they're not getting feedback, or they're getting a thumbs up, or they're getting, I mean, what's a thumbs up? What the hell does that mean? Just tell me if you've sent the card or not. I don't want to have a thumbs up.
Yeah, just a bit frustrating, but I don't know what you can do.
Now, with the... Well, breaks in general.
Yeah.
That's something that's grown.
Yep, for sure.
Now, since your time in the hobby, there was one bloke who was the... I've called him the Nickelback of breaks. He was hot for... And he's not. But now it seems like it's a lot more... it's more prevalent.
Yeah, everyone's a breaker now, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you get a breaker kit.
Just in the bottom of your cereal box, you can just get a little webcam and a packet of cards and you're good to go.
Off you go. Is that a good thing for the hobby or a bad thing for the hobby? Breaks in general.
Breaks in general are good, but
yeah,
I think there's getting too many breakers here for the amount of collectors we have.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you see that, and it's the same names.
Yeah.
Going around. It's not too many. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to.
So I'd like to see, the shops do better than someone who's just doing it out of their backyard sort of thing. But same with our memorabilia. We sell it properly through the right channels, and you got guys at the market copying the prints and selling them for $1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather see the guys doing it properly succeed more, sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's hard because the guys who do have shops or have registered businesses, they're paying tax.
Yeah.
People don't see
rent
that as
and
well.
Everything yeah, as well, yeah, exactly. Wages.
Yep. It's it's easy to get a buy box and start doing it.
Yeah.
I guess. But so you see it as that helps the hobby or...
Yeah, brakes in general do,
different.
But,
I've heard different sides. Yeah. And a good friend of both of ours has told me he doesn't like it for the hobby, but he does brakes himself. I won't say his name, but I think he says it doesn't help the hobby. But I think if it gets more people opening product, I guess, has there ever been a time that this much product's been opened in Australia?
Not since I've been involved. Yeah, just, I know, someone with the new Noir, they've got 30 cases arriving sort of thing. So it's a big high-end product.
That is, for
like little community sort of thing in the world scale. But
well, that's so the thing. Where are we on the scale? America's big, but Asia's becoming
Asia's probably the biggest, You get there hundreds of cases before we even get to see them. They've opened them and sold them on eBay sort of thing, but...
I've got a mate who lives in Dubai, and Dubai is actually becoming big in that they've got large pockets
and
expendable incomes, and they're looking at getting in. So where do we fit in?
I still think we'd be somewhere near the bottom, but but I think we're definitely getting bigger.
Can you see it keep going with this upward spiral, or can you see it crashing?
No, I think it will keep going up. Be slow, not as fast as those other countries, but... Yeah, definitely keep going up.
But does the Panini, what they put in their products, help or not help? Like with the, we discussed a little bit before about the Grand Reserve, we were talking, I think, off air, but with so many redemptions in the product.
Yeah, that's not going to help, because people, they just lose interest. They know they're going to probably have to wait 2 months to get that card at least anyway, and then... It just doesn't look good. You've spent $300-$400 on a box, and your best hit's a white card with a code on it.
And that's the thing.
It takes away the fun.
It does take away the fun. I mean, you can pull, and I've done it myself. You pull out a Kobe, whatever, number to 10, jumbo, prism, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And it's on a card. It's exciting.
Yeah, you've got to get excited in months' time when you get it.
Correct.
Or I remember years, even.
A James Harden to 3. And the guy, I think he still hasn't redeemed it. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It hasn't been able to be redeemed. I said, let me see the card when you do it so I can put a picture. I want to
see
it.
Yeah.
And he's never got it redeemed. How do they fix that, I guess?
They just got to delay the products or something. Just people would rather wait than get a redemption. Wait an extra month for their product to start with. I reckon everybody would rather that.
Yeah, I think you're right. People want to see the card. They want the excitement of opening that pack or the box and not seeing scratch the code and
type. Yeah, it's not good for breakers like yourself either.
No.
You want to be able to advertise a big, nice patch order or something.
You want to get excited. Yeah. Look at that. Cornerstone number to 5.
Yeah. Come back in a few months and we'll have a look at it then.
What's been the biggest flop of the year, product-wise?
Grand Reserve, I reckon.
You reckon?
That was the one I was most excited about. All the previews looked really nice, but even the condition of the cards was not great.
Why is that? I mean, even with a lot of the thicker products, the Noir, the iMac, the NT, a lot of the corners were just knackered.
Yeah, they just don't cut as nicely. That's why when you see the rookies, the RPAs graded really nicely, they just sell for just way more than the ungraded ones, because it's just so hard to get one in good condition.
If you get an RPA to 25, legitimately, how many of those 25 are in great condition?
Might be that might be the only one. Yeah, most of them are usually no good.
Was there a smoky that came through a product like an Optic or a Studio or something that caught your eye?
Optic's probably my favourite product of the year. Because I know it from the NFL. I used to bust it last year. But, I think that will be really popular next year. I think those refractor rookies will be really popular. But again, just with the rookie class, you're not as excited about the products as other years. But yeah, I think next year with this new rookie class...
And who you got your eye on?
Nobody yet.
Lonzo Ball.
No, it's hard not to look at him. He's everywhere, but
You like his swagger or what?
Yeah, I think it's good.
I think it's good too. I like it.
His dad's a dickhead, but he's done he's done really well.
Yeah, look.
The whole world knows his name.
They do, don't they?
No one knows who got drafted after him, sort of thing. But
well, exactly. Yeah. He's the main man. Yeah. Can he live up to the hype, though?
Well, probably not, but won't matter. And he'll just create new hype for next year.
He will. And with the brothers coming through as well.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see how he does fare this year. The Lakers in general, I guess.
I hope he does. Well, they've decided they hate him already, but I think it's because of his dad. Just give him a chance and he'll be fine.
You were one of the blokes that bought one of the dad's cards, were you?
Nah. That was stupid, but...
They went, didn't they?
Yeah,
they
sold it straight away, and then they were reselling for 5 times the price. And they were still selling at that, so it was just...
They've been on WWE, and they've done everything. It's crazy, but yeah, with the NBA scene as well, memorabilia and all that stuff, is that gone through the roof? As in clothes, hats?
I don't know. Maybe caps. Everyone's got a cap now, but...
Because it was once upon a time everyone had a singlet.
Yeah, everyone had a jersey, but... Yeah, now that's sort of died out. You can buy them at the market for $10 sort of thing.
You can.
It's not the same, but most people don't care. So it's hard to see. I don't know if that'll get any bigger or not. If we had better access, I think if it was on free-to-air or something, the NBA, it would just fly even just replays at night or something. But at the moment, League Pass is pretty good, but...
Yeah, exactly. Free-to-air deal needs to be done, at least a highlights package or something.
One game a week even, just get something on there. I think it will be massive.
Yeah, that's all it's missing. Somewhere here, because, I mean, the average little kid can't afford it or...
Yeah, and it's on it during work hours anyway. Exactly. Seems like everyone on the page still finds time to watch it during the day, but...
Well, everyone's got a mobile phone today, so you chuck it on. Give you a shop a plug as well, Memorabilia Warehouse.
Yeah, Memorabilia Warehouse in Oakley.
To get all your framing.
Yeah, anything. Frame anything.
When are you back in action for that?
6 to 8 weeks with my finger, so it's very frustrating, but I'm learning to teach now. How to do it, so...
Maybe that's a good thing anyway.
Yeah, it will be in the long run, but yeah, it's very frustrating at the moment.
All right, well, I will wrap this up because I've kept you here for, I think, 2 hours. People will start sending out the police. Where's Dale? Someone's stolen Dale. But it was a pleasure to talk to you. I hope everyone listening appreciates what you do for the hobby because you are a real major part of it. I think everyone knows that. But you are one of the key factors in the NBA hobby. I don't think the NBA hobby would be the same without you in it.
Yep.
That's genuine. Me getting into that side of the thing, I've only been breaking 3 years.
Yeah.
And the one thing I've seen along the journey is you, basically, your role in the whole NBA scene. And you seem like a really good bloke. You answer people's questions and...
Yeah, I like to just help everybody.
Yeah, you are one of those blokes that... is genuinely...
The more the hobby succeeds, the better it is for all of us anyway.
I can see that through you, even with talking privately. You're one of the blokes that doesn't have any agendas. You're a bit for everyone, which is good to see.
Nearly everyone.
Well, nearly. It's good to see that, though. It is good to see that, because it's not in everyone, that kind of thing. There's people have their favourites or whatever, or...
Yeah, or people clicks. Just come in to make money and they don't care about anything else sort of thing. But
yeah, that happens as well. But yeah, really happy to have you be on the podcast today. It's been a pleasure to have you here. If you want to get something framed, get it framed from Dale. I'm speaking from experience. He is the best in the business. If you want to get some cards graded, he's got a website or he's got a Facebook page and you can contact him direct. He's one of the blokes that will get back to you. He won't leave you in the lurch. Other than that, I'll let you get home, Dale. It's been a pleasure. Since day one I spoke to Dom, I said I've got to get Dale Edmonds on. He's the big mover and shaker in the NBA scene, and just a good bloke. So, pleasure to have you on, mate.
Thanks for having me.
And to everyone, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. More to come down the track. Thank you very much. In the near future, we'll be speaking to Select. We'll also trying to get ESP and a few others on board. So, and talk to some of the sellers as well. People have been in the game for a long time. Get their thoughts on the industry as well. Thanks, and I'll see you soon.